All right, so welcome back to the Matt Graham podcast. It's been like 3 months since I made an episode. There's some things to update. Obviously, you haven't been on since we made the episode about having a kid. Now we've had a kid. And we have things we need to talk about, evidently. As you can see by the First Form smoothie on the table, we are currently at First Form HQ in St. Louis, Missouri, which is a very weird thing for me to say. Let me fix the microphone right there. So we were in St. Louis for 2 weeks for an event earlier this weekend and Summer Smash. For those that don't know what Summer Smash is, I'm sure we'll get into it. I kind of wanted to tell the story today about how First Form kind of happened and how we ended up in a position where we're making a podcast at First Form HQ on a random Tuesday in May still. So first, I suppose, let's update everyone on the whole baby situation. How's it been going?
Baby life has been great. We had a great delivery. It was good to me. And he's been wonderful. We did have a scary little hiccup around week 8.
Week 3.
It was started at week 4. You had a surgery at week 8.
Oh, you got a surgery at week 3. March 12th. He's born February 12th.
Oh. Yeah, it was.
He was only 3 weeks old when he went to the hospital.
Oh. So baby life has been a blur, apparently, for me. But no, seriously, it's been a lot of fun. Aside from that scary little hiccup, he had to have surgery. He started projectile vomiting a lot when he was around 3 weeks old, and he needed a surgery to correct. He had a condition called pyloric stenosis, which is quite rare, but little man's which had is, it.
It's actually more common than people are led on to believe. When we were at the hospital, they said, you know, we see one of these at least a month, if not a week.
Yeah. Yeah. The internet kind of made it seem like it was a little more rare than it was, apparently, that we learned after everything. So he had a surgery, which was quite terrifying as new parents, handing off your four-week-old baby to doctors and anesthesiologists and just praying to the heavens that everything works out. And truly, it was a super fast procedure. It was very simple. And he's been a dream ever since. He's getting chunky. He's happy. He sleeps great. He's smiling. It's so much fun. It's a blast.
Yeah. As far as babies go, he's been a very easy baby, with the exception of pyloric stenosis and the tongue tie.
Yeah, that's right. He did have a tongue and lip tie that we had to get released.
But honestly, that was easier than people made it out to be. Like, yeah, he did great. Obviously, you know, it's always uncomfortable to hand your baby over to a professional to do a procedure, regardless of what that procedure is, whether it be a laparoscopic pyloromyotomy or a tongue tie release. Mm-hmm. You always just think about the worst case scenario in any one of those scenarios. And, you know, that's always stressful. But at the end of the day, you know, he's happy and healthy and everything that we want him to be now.
Yeah.
And he's the star of the show. He's more of a celebrity around here than I am.
Oh my gosh. It turns out when you have a baby, you can't go anywhere without people. It's kind of like having a puppy. It's like you can't go anywhere without people. Oh my goodness. And it helps that he's like really, really cute. It's our baby, so we're biased, but like he's like really cute.
Well, my question is like, is he exceptionally cute or is he just a baby?
I mean, those bright baby blue eyes and his cutie little face.
Yeah, we did pretty good.
I think he's pretty dang cute.
If you don't mind just moving the microphone a little bit closer. Sorry. Because you don't project as much as I do. Don't.
You're a projector. I am not.
It's all right. So, Maverick. I guess we'll just say his name, whatever. It's Maverick. His name is Maverick. We sort of hid that in the previous episode we were in, but, you know, it's Maverick.
Yeah, and he's in the stage where he likes to tell stories now. So he's goo-goo and gaga and ooh-ooh and ah, and you might be able to hear him. I'm not exactly sure.
Yeah, let's just hope he doesn't start freaking out because then we're going to have to pause. But yeah, if you want to be on the podcast, don't you, buddy? Yeah. So the reason we're making this podcast right now is kind of this is okay.
I think he might need a bum change.
All right, maybe we'll do a quick pause and then we'll return. this might be like a 2 or 3-parter, depending on how this baby responds.
Yeah.
Maybe we'll hand him off to Tom Carter and see.
Yeah, right.
All right, so we'll be back after a short break. Okay, we're back.
We're back. Brief intermission.
Yep. We had to feed the baby. Well, she had to feed the baby. I don't do that.
Men and their useless nipples.
So, yeah, you might hear some baby noise, but he's on the floor. Well, on his changing pad on the floor. We're not irresponsible parents throwing our child on the floor at First Form HQ.
And he's happy. He's smiling. Yeah.
So you might hear some baby noise. You might hear some talking. But, you know, it is what it is. This is the podcast. This is our life. So anyway, back to having a kid. You know, aside from the pyloric stenosis and the tongue tie and all those other things, he has been like a breeze, kind of. You know, I think we talked about the just wait people in the last podcast. Like, oh, just wait till you have a kid. Just wait till this. Just wait till that. And quite honestly, it's been fine, you know.
Yeah, I agree. It's obviously it's a huge adjustment. But again, I think it's just a mindset. I think it's really easy to get frustrated and think, oh, it's so much easier to do this without a baby or do this without a baby or be able to sleep through the night or whatever. But this is such a small blip of time. Like, I just look at him and I think, yes, he's upset right now, or yes, this is hard, but he's going to be 18 one day. And when he's 18, I will do anything to go back to these days where he's so little and so fun, and it's just going to go by so quickly. So it's just a mindset, and that's how we've been approaching it. And I mean, he's still young, and we know that it's going to get hard. There's stages that are going to be harder than other stages, so we're still open-minded and just trying to keep a good mindset about it. But yeah, everything, in my opinion, most people make parenting out to be a lot harder than it is.
Yeah, and obviously it gets more complicated the older that they get. So right now it's like just – it's very simple. You just have to keep him alive and keep him happy.
Yeah.
Obviously, as he gets older and he learns things and navigates situations, it's going to get more complicated, and we're going to be focused a lot more on instilling values and, you know, trying to guide him to make the right decisions. Mm-hmm. So we don't want to, you know, oversimplify parenthood and say that it's easy, but thus far, our experience has been that it's not as miserable as what other parents have told us. You know, the sleepless nights, the whatever, it's like it's been not terrible. So
yeah, and a unique part of our journey so far is those first 4 weeks were really hard, like harder than most babies, because he would eat. I mean, what was the routine?
He would eat, and then he would throw it up within 5 minutes. Like, not just spit up, like, we're talking projectile vomited everything that he ate. Like, we're talking, what, 2-3 ounces of milk at a time. And then he would scream because he threw up. And then he would scream because he's hungry. And then he'd eat. And then for those that don't know what pyloric stenosis is, it's basically the pylorus is a muscle that is at the end of your stomach. And it allows food to pass into the digestive system. And with pyloric stenosis, that muscle is overdeveloped. So food cannot pass through. So basically, he could not digest anything. So he's basically starving. And so that obviously causes a lot of problems. He eats, he throws up, he screams because he's hungry. He eats, he throws up, he screams because he's hungry, and he can't sleep, and we can't sleep. It's very frustrating. And for the longest time throughout that entire period, because we had gone to the hospital once and they had said, he doesn't have pyloric stenosis, he's fine. We weren't very confident with the level of care that he had received that first trip to the hospital. But they sent us home and they were like, he has reflux. And, you know, a lot of babies have reflux. Most babies have reflux to some degree, at least. And, it just continued and it got worse. You know, he would throw up even more. He would throw up more frequently, and it just continuously got worse, to where we're like, this is not normal. This is not reflux. We talked with so many doctors. We talked with so many different moms and people and doulas and whoever. Mm-hmm. To try to get an answer that was not just, oh, he has reflux, and we couldn't get one.
Yeah, and then he lost. I weighed him on our changing table as a scale in it, and I weighed him, and he had lost 1/2 pound in 1 week, or in like 6 days. And I said, nope. I woke him up. And we got in the car, went back to the ER, and that's when they did a second ultrasound and they confirmed that he had it. So then that was on a Sunday, and he had his surgery on a Tuesday. So the point of us going through that is explaining the first couple weeks of our journey was a lot, I would say, harder than most because of that whole routine. It's just, we couldn't get him settled because he was just constantly tired, constantly hungry, constantly upset because, you know, nothing was staying down for him. So, well, now that that's all fixed, we look at him, we're like, this is easy. Like, it turns out, yeah, when your baby's not projectile vomiting every hour, it's a lot simpler. So yeah, it's going to get harder. The stages that are going to be like, oh man, I missed the newborn stage, but, it's all fun. It's again, for me personally, it's a mindset. Some days are a lot easier than others. Some moments are a lot easier than others, but I don't know. I look at him and I'm just so grateful for him. So
yeah, whatever stage he's in right now is easily my favorite so far. Mm-hmm. Just because he starts to have a personality. He starts to smile at things. He's getting closer to laughing. And, you know, it's just, he's grabbing things and he's starting to figure out that he can do stuff.
The wheels are turning in there, and it's fun. I mean, newborns are newborns. They just cry and they poop and they sleep. That's really it. They don't really interact with you, right? But this guy, he's 3 months now, so he's smiling. He's so close to giggling, and it's getting fun. So we've been having a great time. Now this was our first time traveling with him too. We drove this time actually, and he did so well. Sat in that car seat. We took our breaks, but He's been really great. He's a happy little boy.
Yep. Yeah, and he's one of those babies where he needs his parents, but like he's happy with anyone. Like, he'll smile at anyone, he'll let anyone hold him. He's not averse to people or noises or chaos. He likes chaos, in fact.
Yeah, the louder it is, the harder he sleeps.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, I mean, we were in the back turf for Lexi's event, and there was 250 girls screaming at the top of their lungs, you know, doing a workout.
Dancing, do all kinds of stuff, music blasting, and he's sound asleep. So great. Yeah. Great for us.
Yeah. So yeah, things have been going great, and I don't think there's anything more to say about that. So let's make the harsh segue to the subject matter that I wanted to discuss on this podcast today. And the reason we're doing this podcast, it was kind of last minute. I was having a conversation with Tom Carter. We all love Tom Carter. He works here at First Form. And what he does is he basically is part of the Legionnaire team, where he helps, you know, the people that promote First Form and represent First Form, you know, strategize and provide value and everything like that. So we were having a conversation last night about my brand and like what I feel like it's lacking. And, you know, one of the things that we talked about was just, I don't know. I feel like my content's gotten stale, like just personally. I don't know if other people feel that way, but for me personally, I feel like I've said everything that I can say in terms of like motivation. And at this point, I just feel like I'm repeating myself. And so I need to do something different. I need to stimulate my brain with something else. And so a good challenge for me content wise and whatnot is to engage in long form content, because I can still take these clips and post them on Instagram and people can get value from that. But I'm just tired of yelling at the camera, trying to motivate you, which I'll still do sometimes if there's something that I feel like I need to say, that I feel I need to get off my chest. But I haven't felt that way in a long time. When I first started out, I had this whole library of things that I had thought about and written about and had in my notes and like super passionate about. But at this point, I've squeezed all the juice out of that lemon, and I'm just kind of ready to do something else. So I thought, let's start doing more long form, even if it's not as pretty as I'd like it to be. We don't have a beautiful lighting setup like we do at home. We're in they call it the Zoom rooms here at First Form HQ. And it's just a room with a TV and a desk. And like, it's not a crazy set. And like, this is a challenge for me, right? Because I like aesthetically pleasing things. I like things to look pretty. And I hold off on making content that I don't feel is perfect, and this is going to be imperfect. And so I have to just rip the band-aid off and make the content, because I have to do something and I can't keep sitting around. Like 2 days ago, I was in our Airbnb shuffling everything around, trying to get, I bought lights and like trying to get everything to look right so I could make content that and make it look like it looks at home. And I just couldn't make it look the way I wanted it to. So I didn't film anything. Then I came here and tried to do the same thing. And I couldn't, I just didn't film anything. And I'm just at a point where the creative juices are just not where they need to be. So we're changing things up. It just is what it is. And long form content is going to be the foundation of that. So a lot more stuff is going on the YouTube channel. We're revamping the podcast. That's been in the works for a while. We're bringing on a co-host. We're going to talk about a variety of different subjects, not just personal development, not just motivation or discipline or whatever you want to call it. So again, that's not to say that the type of content that I'm doing is going away forever or I'm done entirely with it. It's just time to branch out and to do different things, even if it means that I lose some followers or whatever. I fully believe in doing things that are interesting to me, that stimulate me, that because if they interest me, they're going to interest the viewer because there are people that think like me. If it's interesting to me, it's going to be interesting to someone else. And if it's not interesting to me, it's probably not interesting to the people that I want it to be interesting to. And so with all that being said, that's why we're recording this podcast this morning. And here we are. So the meat and potatoes of what I wanted to talk about today was First Form and why we're here, how we got here. Okay. Wow.
He's very excited to be here, in case you haven't noticed.
Very excited. So this was kind of a spur of the moment thing, this podcast. We had the conversation about this last night, me and Tom Carter. And then this morning I was like, let's record a podcast. So here we are recording it. And I thought it'd be cool to kind of discuss First Form and like our history with First Form and how we got involved in First Form. And because it's been kind of a weird serendipitous journey that I haven't really talked about it at length because people see me with Andy and on the podcast and on Relay F and in First Form content and associated with First Form. And they're like, how'd you connect with Andy? How'd you do this? How'd you do that? So that's what we're going to talk about today. So I think it'll be interesting to a lot of people. So let's talk about it. So I think the story starts back in 2016. I was working for fitness franchise called Title Boxing Club at the time. We've mentioned this before on the podcast. And my boss at the time, Kenny, he introduced me to a podcast called the MFCEO Project. And this is a podcast that no longer exists, but is coming back. So a little plug right there for Andy. So look out for that soon. But the MFCEO Project was a podcast created and run by the CEO of the, at the time, CEO of First Form, Andy Frisella. And he's got a multitude of companies, but he's most known for First Form, which is basically a supplement. To call it a supplement company is kind of
a major disservice.
It's a disservice, right? It is just a company that believes in helping people. You know, they have different products, they have different services. They have the First Form app, which is basically MyFitnessPal, but like with way cooler stuff. They've got people in-house. Like if you go on the First Form, and this is not a plug for any, I mean, obviously like we support First Form and we use First Form and we are loyal to First Form because they're just an incredible brand. But I'm not getting paid to say any of the things that we say about First Form. This is not a sponsored episode. This is just truly what we believe. So, you know, they have the First Form app, which is basically a place to track your macros, track your food, but also there's always people, real people with real jobs in the United States that are advising you in the app. So if you sign up right now for the First Form app, which I don't even know if I have a link for, I'll put it in the description either way, whether it's my link or a link, and you know, you can track your food there, but also there's people in this building right here. Well, it's actually that building over there. They have two buildings. People in the building over there ready to help you, you know, achieve your goals, whether it's to give you a workout program or to provide you help with your nutrition. They have licensed nutritionists. Every single person that is on their customer support team, whether it's literally regular customer service or it's an advisor in the app, they're all NASM certified personal trainers. So everybody here knows what they're talking about. So that's super cool. And then of course the supplements are the highest quality stuff that you can get. And they're not the cheapest in the world, and you know, you get what you pay for. You know, if you want to buy the Body Fortress protein from Walmart or whatever, like, you're going to get what you pay for quality wise. So you're going to pay extra with First Form, but you know, you get it back in quality and taste and all those things. So we love the products, but that's just the surface level of what we like about First Form. But going back to the MFCEO project, this is it's a business and personal development podcast that I started listening to in 2016. It started in late 2014, but I had just started working full time at Title Boxing Club, and as part of like a employee development sort of move, my boss, you know, showed me this podcast. He's like, "Hey, check this out." What he actually said was, "This guy has all my secrets," or he gets all his secrets from this guy. So, he ran a very successful business, and he sold it for a good chunk of change. He built it up from nothing, and a lot of what he used to build said business was from Andy. And so, I've been listening to Andy pretty religiously since 2016.
7-8 years, yeah.
Yeah. And, you know, we just became regular listeners of the podcast, and a lot of what I've learned about personal development, a lot of what I've learned about business and making money and everything came from Andy Frisella. And I think you can see that in my content. I try not to rip off people or say things that other people have said. I make a very conscious effort not to do that. But there's only so much you can do when you've been massively influenced by this individual. So yeah, that's kind of, am I missing anything on that part of the story?
No, I don't think so. I think it's just how we first associated. That's where it started. It wasn't even a First Form thing. It was a Andy Frisella MFCEO thing.
Yeah, I never really knew about First Form. I knew of First Form just because he would talk about the fact that he owned the company. He would talk about what he's done with his company and as an example for business. He talked honestly more about supplement superstores early on back in the day than he did about First Form. He talked about those early days, building the store, sleeping on the piss stained mattress in the back of the store. And that was kind of, so I kind of knew supplement superstores more than I knew First Form. And you went down the rabbit hole with First Form before I did. And so how did you sort of get into First Form?
It's funny. I really don't remember like the first moment, but I think what happened was, this is, I mean, 2016, I think it's fair to say, is when like social media was really ramping up. Like people that were, influencers were starting to emerge. And I think I followed a couple people that were using their products. And I actually remember, I mean, we were not in a great spot financially back then. And I remember their protein was not cheap. So I was like, oh, I can't spend that kind of money on protein. So I hadn't bought a product. I mean, I think the first year I bought a product from them was in 2020. So we're going 4 years later is when we finally jumped in and tried their, I think I got level one first. So I think this Instagram is what started it, where I actually started understanding, oh, so these people are like athletes, and like they support First Form, and they work with them, and they're, you know, all about fitness and helping people and using their products and things like that. And then I just started following people that worked for First Form, which were what I learned to be the highest quality of human beings ever. They dedicate their lives to truly helping people, not pushing product, not sales, not any of that stuff. It's truly, they walk the walk, they talk the talk, and they just genuinely want to help people become better versions of themselves through fitness, through doing the hard work, whatever that is, whether it's through for work, whether it's for your family life, your relationships, fitness, whatever. That's what they emulate, the people in this building. It's just what they do. So I just started following all of them. I was like, you know, Will Grumke, all the who I learned on, they're all the exec people. Just naturally just kind of started following them one by one. And then you follow one and then you learn about another. And like, oh, this person did that. And oh my gosh, this person did this. And you just get addicted because you're like, these people are just everyday normal humans that come from, you know, normal life. They weren't handed anything, especially Andy. They came from gravel road, midtown St. Louis, like nothing special. And they just do incredible things. And I just became addicted to it. And I found myself opening up Instagram, and instead of seeing makeup and, you know, superficial things, I started seeing real inspiring stuff that people were just doing on a random Tuesday, just because they thought they wanted to do it. They needed a challenge, and you just get addicted to it. And then, I think Summer Smash was what really dove us in. That started getting promoted. And I'm like, what the heck is Summer Smash? And it's a huge kind of festival party that's that First Forum throws every year in the summer. And I said to Matt, I was like, so Summer Smash is happening. And he's like, what's that? I was like, well, I don't really know, but we're going to get tickets. And can we go to St. Louis in June? And he was like, I guess. And that's really what kind of kicked it off for us, I think.
Yeah, I didn't know anything about First Form. I knew she followed certain people. I had heard of Will just from her talking about mm-hmm. something that she had seen on Instagram, and I'm like, okay, whatever. But you know, I knew that Andy owned First Form, so I thought, okay, we'll go to Summer Smash and maybe we'll have the opportunity to meet Andy. Mm-hmm. That to me would be like the coolest thing ever. Did I think that that was going to happen? I thought it was pretty unlikely, you know. I mean, if a lot of people are going to this thing, but I thought, you know what, there's a chance. So, hey, you know. And
yeah, if nothing else, we get to walk through his building where he spends all his time and see his cool offices and where he films the podcast that we've been listening to for the past 7 years. So it was just an opportunity to just be immersed in this environment and just be around these people that we'd been following for the last couple of years. So we spent the money. We didn't fly. We drove. This was 2022. We got in our cars. Like, I clocked out of work at like 4:30, and we left at like on like a Wednesday at like 5 o'clock at night, and we drove to St. Louis. And that's when we experienced our first Summer Smash, and that's truly when like everything changed.
Yeah. So at this point, I had always been making content, but not the way that I am now. And obviously, I didn't have a following or anything like that. And so we had gone to Summer Smash, and you know, I thought it was just going to be this, you know, weekend trip, whatever, nothing crazy. But then I walked into the building, and that kind of did it for me. You know, like when you walk into the building and you see the scale of what they've built, you see the quality of every single thing in this building. You know, when you walk into the gym, first of all, everything's spotless. Everything in this building is, it looks like they just built it. It looks brand spanking new in here. And this place has been around 4 years.
Yeah. Every chair is pushed in, you know, there's real plants everywhere. Everything's polished, dusted. There's not a speck on the glasses. The gym is immaculate. Every weight is stacked perfectly where the numbers back up, line up with the numbers, the dumbbells. There's not one that is off by a millimeter. And why this is so significant is that they don't have a janitor service here. Like, they don't have cleaners. They don't have people that come in and pick up the office or clean the fridges every Friday. They take care of this place because it's their home. It's something that they take pride in, and that's something that they want to emulate in work and in real life. And that's exactly what my point was with, you know, you start following these people and you realize they're not just these people that are pushing a product or have a sales quota to hit or just want to gain followers. They truly live what they preach. And that's such a rare thing to find. And, you know, you walk in this building. So with Summer Smash, they do tours of the facility when you get here. There's like I think there's like 2,000 people that go to Summer Smash. So they do a tour of the whole HQ. And they just explain to you why everything's built the way that it was, why the paint is the certain color that it is, why this is a certain square footage is this, because this, you know, there's an American flag that's in the gym that's the exact same square footage of the first building that they ever had. It's just tiny little details like that. And it's just incredible. It truly is.
It's very Disney-esque. Like, it is. When because we were always Disney people, like, through the years, and less so now because they've just gone off the deep end with, you know, the way they approach everything. I made a video about that if you want to check that out. But Disney was historically like that, like mm-hmm. very detail oriented. Everything was clean. Everything was spotless. Like, they repainted every single night because it's somebody's first time at Disney. Every single thing had a reason and an intention and just every little detail mattered, and they put thought into every little thing that they did. And I didn't see that anywhere else in the world.
Yeah, their customer service was top notch. Like you couldn't go anywhere like you could with Disney. You know, you're walking and your flip flop breaks. Someone will come running out and offer you a free, you know, from the store. It's a magical moment. They'll give you a free pair of shoes, or you know, they were just an incredible brand. And there was no, they have the. A saying is called the Disney way, and that's really what it is. It's you know, those cast members work incredibly hard to make your experience magical. That's kind of how it always felt. And this First Form, like Matt's saying, is it's the same exact thing. You don't meet a single stranger in this building. You walk by a person, they smile and say hi to you, they'll introduce themselves, what can I get you, you know, how's your day going, I love your sneakers. Like, they're just, you don't meet a stranger here. You're immediately welcomed in, and they're just wonderful human beings. So that's what we felt the minute we walked in, and that's really what I think changed everything for him, especially was walking through these doors and seeing what Andy built, Andy, Sal, Chris, Jason, all them built, and he just got hungry, like real hungry.
Yeah, I remember particularly when we took the first tour. Will gave us the tour, and I walked out the front door of the building, and I turned to you and I said, what the fuck am I doing with my life? Mm-hmm. And that right there was the switch that needed to flip, that changed literally everything. Like, I'm sitting in this building again with a bunch of followers and connected with Andy Frisella and all these other things because of that moment, because I walked through this building and I saw what they had built, and I thought I need to be doing this. I need to be involved. I need to be connected to this somehow. And so everything that you see from me on the internet stemmed from that moment. It stemmed from walking into this building and seeing what was possible. Like, not just from a monetary or a business perspective, not just the building itself, but the what was possible culture-wise, what was possible to build in building people. You walk into a place that is completely different from the outside world. You walk into any random gas station. There's a gas station right over there, like half a mile down the street. If I went into that gas station right now and walked into the bathroom, there'd be paper towels everywhere. There'd be shit on the toilet. There'd be water all over the sink. You'd walk by somebody, they'd have their head down, looking at their phone, whatever. Here is like a different world. You walk in, like she said, you don't meet a stranger. Everybody wants to help. Like, you go into the bathroom, it's spotless. Every single, if you wash your hands next to somebody, you'll see them do what you don't see anybody do anywhere, which is take a bunch of paper towels and wipe down the sink and make sure there's no water left on it. Who does that? Nobody does that, but they do it here.
Right. And there's no one enforcing that. There's no one looking over their shoulder saying, oh, Shayna, you just used the bathroom. Did you wipe down the sink? They just do it because it's the right thing to do. It's taking care of their place. And so it's what makes them proud. They're proud of where they are. And I think that's such a small detail, but it just transcends into everything you do. It's like that saying, how you do the one thing is how you do everything. And that just carries through from every square inch of this building. And it sounds kind of silly to say, oh, we walk through the doors and we're never the same, but that's truly what it feels like. I mean, we left St. Louis that trip, and we spent, it's a 16-hour drive from here to Florida, and we listened to Real AF, which Andy's new podcast is called Real AF. We listened to that from the moment we got in the car to the moment we pulled in our driveway at 2 o'clock in the morning. And it was quiet. I just remember looking and his wheels were just churning. Like, he was just, that was it. There was a before moment, and then there was an after moment, and the after moment was him leaving this facility, and it's, everything's changed since then.
Yeah. I walked into this building, and I saw what was possible, not just within a building, but for the entire country, for the entire world. Like, mm-hmm. imagine if the average person raised their standard to such a degree that it like it is here. Imagine if everyone was a First Form employee.
Yeah.
Right? Like, what kind of world could we build? What kind of country could we build if everyone approached life the way that the people within these walls do? Mm-hmm. And that's really what inspired me, because in 2020, obviously the world went sideways and everything went crazy. But in 2021, I was very mad. Like, I was just very mad about it because I can't, everything went sideways and then I realized what happened and I'm like, I'm just angry about it. I didn't know what to do. Mm-hmm. So it's just like, they call it red pill rage. Like when you figure out what's going on in the world and the fact that like people are just destroying themselves and they are addicted to name your vice, whether it's social media or porn or whatever it is. And people are just self-sabotaging themselves at scale, which is why our civilization looks the way it does and why people are willingly controlled by authority figures in a government or on a screen or in media because they can't think for themselves, because they're not actually a sovereign individual, because they don't have discipline. They don't have values. They don't have any North Star that's leading them down the path in the right way. And I was just angry about it for like an entire year and I didn't know what to do until I walked into this building and I thought, this is the solution. What I see right here is the solution to all the problems in civilization. We need to raise our standard and aim for excellence. We need to be better individuals from the job that we pursue to the skill that we develop to the way that we wipe down the sink. Like, it all matters. Everything matters. Every single detail matters. The way you live your life matters. And whether I ended up in this building or not, whether I ended up a part of First Form, whether as an athlete or as an employee or as whatever, or I didn't, I knew that I walked into this building and I realized that that was the solution. And so I made it my mission the minute that I walked out those doors to spread that wherever I could. And that's where the content started coming in. But I did want to be a part of this. Like, I wanted to be in this building, just because I knew that this would be the ideal environment for me and my family to flourish. And so the first thing that I did, and I don't even think Andy knows this, is I applied for a job at First Form. So I talked to Jonah here, the videographer, the second night of Summer Smash, and I asked him about like, hey, what's it like being a video? Because I was a photographer and videographer prior to what I do now. And he was like, oh, we're going to have some openings, whatever, you should apply. And so I did apply.
Well, what he's glazing over is that as soon as he got here, he did bring his camera and he saw what this place was. And then I think he just decided, or maybe he decided beforehand, I don't know, but he pretty much worked the entire event, and not worked as in got paid by First Form in any capacity whatsoever. He had his camera in his hand and was gone the whole time. And what he did was he started taking pictures of everything, of people, of athletes, of events, of you name it. If it was a good shot, he was taking it. And what happened was, you know, First Form for these events, they have a huge media team and they're so talented. They have the best of the best equipment and they're running around all weekend long taking all the content. But the difference between them and Matt is they post their content way after the event's over because they get back, they edit it, they make it into all these incredible videos and edits, but they do it later on. But what Matt did is he took thousands of photos throughout the day and we came back to the hotel and he edited them that same night. And he'd post, you know, a dozen to two dozen photos on Instagram. And because I knew who most people were, because I was going down the rabbit hole at First Form, I would tell him, you know, that's Stacey Irving, that's Claire, that's Hannah Jones, that's Lexi Johnson. And he would start tagging everybody. And then everyone would see all these awesome photos from the day that they just had and they'd start sharing them. So it started, all his content started spreading like wildfire. And it was really, I don't know that if it was planned, it was brilliant, but that's what ended up happening. So we spent four straight days of taking all kinds of shots and then posting them, and people started recognizing who he was and his name. And so the media team at First Form was like, man, like, you're taking these photos, like, these are really good, you know, what do? Yada, yada. And Jonah was the one who said that they were looking for, you know, some more help on the team. So now, you know, we get back to Florida and we're like, you know, we love Florida. We love where we are. We had just moved there, you know, at the time, five-ish, 4 years before that. And we're like, well, you know, shit, should you apply? Like, if the team is asking about you and, you know, putting the bug in your ear, is this something that we should really consider? Like, do we apply and possibly move to St. Louis to work on the media team? And that's what Matt started contemplating when we got back.
Yeah. And by the way, that's just a really good networking tip that she just dropped. So if you have a skill, regardless of what that skill is, like, provide it for free to people that you want to network with. because I knew at this event that there would be people that I wanted to network with, whether it be the athletes or Andy or somebody else. I knew that there would be people here that it would be good to know. And so what skill do I have? Well, I can take photos and I can take videos. So what did I do? I took photos and I took video for free without asking for anything. And
relentlessly. Just, like, this wasn't like he was like, oh, I'm at the concert, and then he'd just go to the side and snap pictures. Like, he didn't enjoy any part of this process. He was just working the whole time. The whole time, which, I mean, let's be honest, he loves to do that. But that's what he was doing, was truly working and putting in a strong effort, and was so detailed about it and so regimented about it, and it ended up working really well.
Yeah. So the media team situation, I did interview for the position at the media team, and I ultimately decided against going through with it because I can't explain it, but there was just a gut feeling that there was another way. Mm-hmm. Like, it didn't feel like that was the right path. Mm-hmm. It was a path and I could have done it, but it just felt like there was another way. And I don't know why I had that feeling. I didn't know where it came from, but it was just very apparent that I was like, this isn't it. Like, this isn't how I get there. And it ended up not being how I got there. And we'll talk about exactly how that happened.
Yeah. Yeah. I had the same feeling, and it felt so contradicting, because it's not like some sign drops from the sky and says, this isn't it. Like, wait your turn. Like, the next one, just be patient. It just was this gut feeling, like, you know, but we kept saying to each other, like, but if this is an opportunity, like, do you really turn down working for Andy Frisella? Like, is that something that you do? Like logically, like, that's insane to us. Like, it was just something that we couldn't process, but we ended up not going through with any of it. And, you just got to work with what you do best, which is with media, which is content. And you went up into your office and you just started busting out content. You started off with your headphones on and the camera, and you just started talking about things that you felt would help move this mission forward by helping people with what you know, which is your anxieties, the things that held you back from being the kind of person that you want to be in society.
Yeah. And for a year straight, I did nothing but make content. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I tried a lot of stuff beforehand. It wasn't just like I stumbled upon this podcast short form style. I posted pictures with captions. I did like basketball trick shots. Like, I did all kinds of stupid things just to try to get anything to work. And then eventually I stumbled upon the content that I'm known for, and it ended up working out. And so fast forward maybe like 6 months, I'm blowing up on TikTok. I think I had maybe 100,000 followers at the time. And I get a message from this guy, Chris, who works at a company called ClickUp. And Chris was like, hey, we want to work with you, whatever, you know, let's set up a call. And so I go downstairs and I talk to Shana. I'm like, hey, I got a call with this guy, Chris, from ClickUp. They might want to do a brand deal or something like that. And she says, Chris, let's click up. I know click up. And she was like, I think he was on Andy's podcast. And I'm like, shut the fuck up. Like, no, there's no way that this guy was on Andy's podcast. And we pull up Spotify. We look up Chris Cunningham, and shout out to Chris. And lo and behold, he was on Andy's podcast. He was on Real AF. And so, of course, when we go for the call, I'm wearing my First Form shirt. And, you know, we got onto the subject of Summer Smash, and he was kind of asking questions about, you know, my content and how I sort of started making it and whatnot. And so it was a great segue for Summer Smash. He's like, oh, I know Andy. I'll introduce you to him, which, by the way, he doesn't do. He does, like, when you know somebody like Andy Frisella, you don't just introduce people to them. So I don't know if it was just like some gut feeling or good vibe that he got from me or whatever, but he felt like Andy and I should know each other.
He told me what it was the other day. He said that it was because there was something about your content where it felt like it was so sincere, and like you're talking directly to the person that's listening to it. You know, you just had a way about the way that you spoke to the camera that he felt you were like really onto something, and that you were the real deal. And he said, you know, that's what made me. He said, because I, you know, like you just said, he said, I don't introduce my friends to Andy unless it's, I mean, because think about how embarrassing that would be, right? Like, you're someone who's a good friend with a popular, you know, person in a certain industry, and then you introduce them to some Joe Schmo, and it's like, okay, what do you want me to do with this kid? Like, I don't, cool, hi, nice to meet you, you know? But Chris, that's what he told me. You know, we're jumping ahead, but that's what he said to me the other day, is that there's something about your content where it just was unique and it felt real. And he said, we can, you know, we could totally, totally get this kid in the game somehow. So he wanted to get you in the loop with Andy.
And so he did, but it took about 6 months.
Out when you want to connect with really highly influential people, it takes some time, which causes the longest 6 months of like our lives, I think.
Yeah. And I didn't really know what to expect from it. I didn't know if I was going to be on the show. I didn't know if it was just going to be like a, hey, how you doing? I didn't know if there was like a job for me. I didn't know. I had no idea.
We knew nothing. We're like, what could Andy Frisella possibly want from you?
Right.
we just kept saying those things. We were like, what is happening?
Yeah. And fast forward maybe to like March of 2023, I get a message from Chris. He texts me and he says, hey, check Instagram. I remember it clear as day. I was on a call with somebody. And so I have my phone off to the side and I look and it says, Andy Frisella followed you. And I'm like, what the fuck? What? And so, you know, nothing happened after that for maybe a month. And then Easter rolled around and we were at Disney Springs. Mm-hmm. We were going out for breakfast or brunch or whatever. And I got a message on Instagram from Andy, and it said he sent me one of my videos with fire emojis, and he's like, "Hey, bro, I like your shit," and I'm like, and I'm sitting there like with my hand shaking like this.
Yeah,
like,
oh, he shows it to me. I'm like sweating. I'm like, what is happening? Like, how? It's just such a surreal moment. Like, think about the most influential person in your life, whether it's on like an Instagram person or a Tom Brady, an athlete, something, and they start recognizing you for the work that you're doing on their own, like on a whim, like they're just, you know, genuinely going out of their way, which they're incredibly busy people with really fancy friends, and they have no, you know, you're just a tiny little person who you are, whatever, and they reach out to you to, it's like, it's the most surreal feeling. It's like one of those pinch me moments where you're like, what's going on? How is this real?
Yeah. And so Andy and I connected for the first time. We actually had met previously in a meet and greet, but that was just a meet and greet. He probably doesn't even remember it.
1,000 people at those things.
Yeah.
He wouldn't remember.
So yeah, that's how we connected initially. And then basically from there, we had a few phone calls, which was kind of a weird story. I don't know if we'll tell that, but, yeah. And then he invited me onto the show. I came out, did the show, And then the rest is history. Here we are. We're at First Form, and you know, we're hanging out here today, and we're back for another Summer Smash. And you know, it's pretty amazing what's happened and how it's all unfolded. And
yeah, it's just all so surreal. You know, we're here for like 2 weeks this time, because the last two years we've done Summer Smash, but we're only here for like 4 days. And when we're here, you know, we're within the confines of the places we can go, right? You know, everything's roped off when they do the tours. They don't show you, you know, everyone's, you know, there's just certain areas that they rope off to show you where you're supposed to walk through and where you're not. And so when we're here, you know, kind of as guests slash, you know, Matt works here kind of now. So it's very strange. You can just kind of walk around wherever you want. Like, I was in the women's locker room, like nursing Maverick, and it's just, it doesn't go unnoticed. Like, it's even when you get full reign of the place, you still get that bug of like, this place is just so unique, and it's such a blessing to be here. And, you know, I was walking outside with him yesterday doing laps around the building and the new building. And it's just, you know, everything, it's just crazy to the cars that people drive here. Everyone's so neat. Everyone is so, they take care of everything that they have. You know, no one's perfect. I'm not trying to say that these people are, you know, godly, but they put their best foot forward. You know, they're outside, they're picking up trash. It's just everywhere they go, they're just influencing to be a better person. It just doesn't go unnoticed for us. It's incredibly, I mean, we're sitting in a Zoom room right now filming, when a year ago we're walking through as guests, like looking into the Zoom rooms, like, oh, how cool. And now we're just hanging out here with our new baby, and everyone's so obsessed with him, treating us like family. And it's been an incredible experience. You know, and it's so surreal that Matt's been on the show 3 times. I mean, he came out here, he had his own locker in the locker room. They had a whole gift bag for him full of products, and, you know, they have a whole experience team here. So when you come in as a guest or, you know, someone who's visiting, they do so much work about, going online, finding out as much as they can about you. They had all kinds of stuff in that bag for Matt. They had photos of our family and, you know, a Disney World photo album that we can fill with memories for him. And they even had a little bag for me with like skincare and workout outfits and things like that. And, you know, they're just top quality human beings. And, you know, Matt's been on the show 3 times and people start recognizing him now. So it's just crazy to just be truly a consumer of what Andy puts out on a little pod. Well, actually, it was not a little podcast. It was one of the best podcasts in the genre back then. Number one in business, right?
Yeah, it was one in business and number one in podcasts at another point.
That's crazy. And then to see where we are now, it's just another testament to what this company does. It's like, you know, you put your best foot forward, you try to be a good influence and you try to change the world in a positive way. And who knows, maybe you might end up being buddies with Andy Frisella.
Yeah. And really, I think that's a great place to end on is basically like, I didn't do any of the things that I did with the intention of meeting Andy or being in this building necessarily, or, you know, getting something out of it. I didn't know what my content would evolve into or what would come of it. I just making the content, I didn't see a path necessarily to be us being in this position. The only way that I thought to get there was to like apply for a job or maybe like apply to become an athlete, which to me seemed like not something that was going to happen. And so my true intention with my content was just providing value just like it is right now. And as we talked about in the beginning of this podcast, talking about things that I care about and that I'm interested in. And so, you know, as long as that remains your North Star and you're genuinely doing things for the right reasons, it's going to pan out one way or the other. Mm-hmm. You know, it's, I get messages all the time of like, how do I get blank? How do I get followers? How do I get money? How do I get this? How do I get that? How do I get on Andy's podcast? Whatever. You don't go into it with like that. You don't go into it with that intention. You go into it with the intention of providing value and giving and giving and giving and giving. And then eventually, in some way, shape, or form, a door is going to be open to you. You might not know what it looks like. You might not know. You might have never expected it once in your life. Do you think that I would have ever guessed that I would be on Andy's podcast? Nope, not a chance. But it happened. Why? Because I led with value. I led with talking about what means something to me, not about what I can extract out of people. And so I think that if that's your approach with everything that you do, it's going to pan out for you one way or the other. And so just keep providing value, keep giving everything you can, and it'll all work out.
Yeah, for sure. Living proof.
Yep, living proof right here. So appreciate you guys listening to this episode. My laptop's about to die, so we're gonna cut it off before it cuts us off. And we'll see you in the next episode.
Sounds good. See you guys.